Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe without the script. Just loosen up a little bit, Lauren.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't know where we're going with that, but welcome to Mouthy Broadcast, everyone.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
I'm Jenny Toast.
I'm Lauren.
Just Lauren.
Yeah. Stephen Lauren.
I've been forcing Scott to watch Steven Universe, speaking of Stevens.
Oh.
He's really enjoying it. He's really enjoying it. And I'm very happy that he didn't know anything about it because we got to the end of the first season, the whole like Garnet surprise.
Yeah.
And I saw what episode was coming up and I was like, we don't have time. It was like before like a recording session or something or a writing session. I was like, I know we don't have time, but we got to watch this. You need to see this. You're about to have your mind blown. Yeah. So he's enjoying it a lot. It makes me happy that I can share that show with other people. Because it's so fucking good. This is like the fourth time I'm watching Steven Universe.
I still need to watch the new stuff that they put out on Hulu like 2 years ago or a year ago, whenever it came out. I never saw that.
It's okay. Like, it's not the same as the original show to me, but, you know, like, I kind of felt like they wrapped up the story so well that there was just no coming back from it. Mm-hmm. The movie was really good. It just caused me emotional distress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, abandonment issues.
Oh, boy. How do we transition out of that? Well, speaking of abandonment, Matt's going to be on a trip for a couple days. I think he might already be gone and he didn't actually kiss me goodbye.
Bye, bitch.
I know, right?
I mean, now you can start throwing parties.
Yeah.
Throw a big house party while dad's away.
I'm just going to have a massive orgy. Just invite over all kinds of dudes.
Can I come?
Yes, yes, yes. Come to my orgy.
I will come at your orgy.
Come to, at, and in. Ayo.
Hey.
Yeah.
I don't know why Jersey Joe has turned into like Fonzie for me. I always like, hey. Yeah. Yeah. I have to recalibrate. Most people don't know who Jersey Joe is yet. And that's sad for you. I'm very sorry.
We'll meet him soon enough.
Yeah. He's going to be all over the interwebs on all of our creations. Speaking of which, we did writing session last night. We didn't get as much done as we like. This is probably one of the briefest writing sessions we've ever done. It was just me and Scott and Justin. And Justin had just gotten his second COVID shot.
Ooh.
And so the effects were kind of hitting him a little bit. And he like just hit a wall. And he was like, okay, I'm done. I was hoping to finish this little part, but I can't. He just stopped mid-sentence and was like, I'm out.
Yep. Yeah. Get it. Totally get it.
But, I mean, we finished episode 9 and we're rounding it out. We've got ideas for season 4.
Nice.
So, awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. I'm a little bit terrified to start recording this. I think it's going to be easier than last year in a way, but also not for reasons. For many reasons.
Are there reasons you want to share or no?
Mostly the songs. The songs that will be in there.
Yes.
It's going to be challenging on both a recording and production level. Mm-hmm. And I think we may be a little bit too ambitious, but also I've never shied away from being too ambitious on shit like this. So
true.
It just might take a little bit longer for this stuff to come out. So.
I love how you just took a moment to like stop and burp and it was like the tiniest burp.
Yep. I really was hoping it would be louder than that. I was very disappointed.
Like only people seeing the video will know that you actually burped into the microphone.
Yeah. They probably just thought like I just tapped the mic.
Yes. Yes. But speaking of the video, if you subscribe to us on Patreon, you can see our video.
Yes.
At least we put out at least one video a week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's more.
Yes.
A lot of times there's private screenshots of our private conversations. Screenshots of our private conversations.
Yes. Those are really fun for me to share, like, and do little mini shows with you over text. The worst part is uploading it because I have the Patreon app. This is like the worst thing about Patreon is that if you have like a personal account so that like you can follow, oh, hi, yes, Justin or whatever, you can't have that on the same account as your creator account that you share with your friend. Right. It's not like Facebook where you can say like, I give access to this person to manage this page.
Yeah.
So I can't have the Mouthy Broadcast account logged in on my Patreon app because that's how I listen to, oh, hi, Justin and whatever else. And it's a real fucking cunt when I try to upload these screenshots over the browser. So it ends up being like, I wait like 2 weeks and I go into the computer and I do a whole bunch of screenshots at once and like schedule them out. Because that's the easiest way possible. And that's not even that fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been logging in and out of the app.
Oh, lame.
Yeah. So that I can use my own personal Patreon and then the Mouthy Broadcast Patreon.
God, I wish they could
share something.
I wish there was a better way. I just wish they could do something better about that.
But being a user, listening to stuff on, following content creators on Patreon, it's great.
Yes.
So it's great. So don't let our, us as creators' perspective of Patreon dissuade you from subscribing to our Patreon or anyone else's Patreon.
And it's only specifically because we're sharing the Patreon.
That too. Yes.
Yeah. It's actually not bad from just a creator standpoint. It's mm-hmm. just when you try to share a creator account.
Yes.
So.
Yes. All of those things.
God, why do... Oh. I feel like I have shredded wheat in my teeth or something today.
Did you go down on a Triscuit?
I fucking would. Love me some Triscuit action.
You know those little, like, a couple years ago when they made those cartoons or those commercials that had, like, mini wheats as, like, mm-hmm. anthropomorphic characters?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd totally eat that mini wheat puss, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd just put my face right in it.
Lick off all that frosting.
Yeah. At first. I've written many fan fictions about anthropomorphized shredded wheat. Many. It's not a very big topic on the internet, but there's really a niche following.
It would really scratch your face a lot if you went down on that, though.
That's my fetish. Love getting my face scratched by wheat. Let's move on.
I actually had something I wanted to talk about for a little while now, and I kept forgetting to bring it up. So I'll just go right into that.
Go into it.
Matt and I were driving out in the country recently. Okay. And there were, we drove past a farm and there were a couple of calves, you know, baby cows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the cutest thing because these two calves were running. And I had never seen a little calf run before.
Oh, my God.
It was so cute. I was like, oh, my God, look at those baby calves running. Oh, it's the cutest thing.
And do they kind of have like that little stiff leg kind of look?
Yes.
Like, where they're just like,
yeah, yes, it was so cute. Like, they didn't, like, they didn't like bend their knees. And I don't think I've ever seen a cow run before. And if you did, it'd be scary because they're like, they could stampede.
Right.
So it was just very cute to see it. And then we kept, we kept driving deeper and further out into the country and passing more farms. So I was looking really closely. Because if you see one baby calf, it means it's baby cow season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, right, all animals have a mating season? I don't know. I'm making that up. I don't know shit about fuck when it comes to anything.
I would imagine animals. On a farm, though, that it's not like the animals are just running around having fucking orgies and shit. Like,
true. So they are arranging. Any time of year. Yeah, yeah. They're trying to breed them at certain times. Yeah. So, yeah. Each time we would pass and I'd see cows, I'd be looking for more calves. And we tried by one farm and I see a cow and then I see a smaller cow and I'm like, oh, there's another baby calf. And then I look around and there's all these small cows. I was like, oh, there's a ton of calves. It's full of baby cows. And then as soon as I say that and get all excited, I realize that these smaller animals are not calves.
Uh-oh.
They're all goats.
It's goat ready.
But it was, I thought the goats were calves. And Matt was just like, okay, all right, settle down. It's just goats. It's just
but goats are adorable too.
Goats were adorable too, but they weren't doing anything special. They weren't, you know. But I was just so excited because I was like, I've never seen so many calves. I've never seen so many baby cows in one place, because it was like a dozen of them.
It's because you live in a city and you're not expected to know the difference between a farm animals
and calf. Well, then soon after this, we pass a horse farm and there are three horses. Mm-hmm. And then in a separated area, there is a small horse. And I'm like, oh my God, is it a baby horse? It's a baby horse. And then as we get closer and we pass it, it was a donkey. And Matt was like, that's it. I'm going to get you flashcards. And I'm going to get you that little toy with the spinner and the string. And the cow says, it's like, I have to reteach you how to identify animals. Apparently,
just go to a petting zoo.
Apparently at 40 years old, I don't know how to identify common farm animals.
It happens. And I mean, I saw my cat and I thought it was an actual baby, a human baby.
That's how I treat my cats. But then the worst part was, like an hour later on our trek through the country, there was a Shetland pony and he didn't believe me. And I was like, it was a tiny horse and there was lots of hair. It was a Shetland pony.
Are you sure it wasn't just a giant dog?
I'm pretty sure. He didn't believe me. He even refused to believe me. He's like, it was probably a sheep. Yeah.
I mean, now you're the girl who cried calf.
And cult.
Yes.
Just in case you don't know, a baby horse is called a cult. Which seems odd.
Culty.
Wait, is it a cult or is it a foal?
I think it's a foal.
Okay, that's a baby. A baby is a foal. But then what's a cult? Like a young, like a pony? Like a...
I don't know. I grew up in the country, but it wasn't that country.
You grew up around crabs.
Yeah. I didn't live on a farm.
I guess I could Google it, but I'm sure nobody cares.
Exactly.
But if you want to write to our show and tell us that we're wrong.
Tell us how wrong we are.
Reach out to us, mouthybroadcast@gmail.com or @mouthybroadcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just tell us we're fucking wrong and stupid. We'd love to share that information on the air.
Yes.
But absolutely. When you write into us, you better be right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise we're going to roast you back.
Yes.
So when you pass cows on these journeys, do you feel it necessary to like try to talk to them in their language?
I used to. I really don't anymore.
I still do. Like even
you
just
roll
thinking
down your window and moo at them.
Yes. even just thinking about you driving past, I just wanted to go, moo, moo.
Did you ever see the Far Side cartoon where it showed a group of cows driving past a field of humans and putting their heads out the window going, yak, 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 yak?
That's amazing.
I'll have to find that for the show notes.
Yeah, I do like often think about what do cows think about us as we pass them and yell moo. Like they're probably like, oh, you fucking racist prick. You think that's what we just sound like is just moo, moo.
Oh, good. I found it.
Good. But yes, we should all take a trip out to a petting zoo and get acquainted with the animals because that would be honestly adorable. Now that we're all vaccinated, we can hang out again. It would be amazing.
Hang out with goats and Shetland ponies and all those other things.
Goat ready.
Mm-hmm.
Goat ready. I was very disappointed when I went to go visit Amanda. She still didn't have goats. I was so sad.
I just heard somebody say they wanted to get rid of a goat.
I don't think
here. I don't know how you would transport a goat.
She doesn't want goats anyway. She changed her mind. She's a chicken lady now.
Oh, okay. You can't have goats and chickens?
I mean, you can, but she just doesn't want the goats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, then.
The goat dream is dead. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on.
Oh, I just realized I'm wearing your shirt.
Yeah, that's a fucking amazing shirt.
I was wearing it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out and about, and I got a compliment on it, and I gave them your info.
Thank you so much. I love having real-life ambassadors.
Yeah, I was like, here you go. You can get this shirt on TeePublic.
Nice. I want to do more of that style, like that 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of retro style. And actually, when I was scanning all those old photos yesterday or whatever the fuck it was, one of the things that I scanned was my old sticker book from when I was a tiny child in the 80s. And there was so much stuff that looks like in that same vein, like has that kind of look. And I'm like, I'm going to do some shit that looks like this. I've been reinvigorated.
That's why it's part of your design aesthetic.
Right.
Grew up around that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So cool.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm debating. Do we go into the serious talk now?
I think so. We don't have a whole lot. Like, I thought we had more to talk about. Apparently, we don't. So, let's go into this.
It's because we had such a long-ass personal conversation yesterday.
I know.
Get off our chest now.
Speaking of getting off your chest.
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. So I mentioned on the show a couple months ago, I've turned 40. Time for me to get a mammogram. Time for me to get checked out. And everything is fine. Let's go ahead and preface that with everything is fine. I am okay. The past 2 weeks have been a little rough for me dealing with issues related to said mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I went in for my very first mammogram. And by the end of the day, I had a report from the radiologist that said there was an area of concern and that I needed to come in for more imaging, which was going to include a second mammogram and an ultrasound. And I didn't want to dwell on that too much because I just thought, okay, I'm, you know, they'll tell me more when I go back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not worry about it. But I have a very serious family history of cancer. And that was really frightening. But, you know, like I do, I just pushed it down.
Just push it down.
Why think about it?
I
didn't talk to my mother. I didn't talk to my sister. I talked a little bit about it with Jenny, but then I just started making jokes and acted like I didn't care. I talked to my friend Bera, So, you know, I informed my close inner circle. Matt knew, know, but I, but I chose to keep it to myself and not worry about it. Which then led to me.
Because we're Alfred E. Newman, but with titties.
A little bit behind the curtain, it actually led to me being a total bitch to Jenny for no reason.
I was being a bitch too. Don't downplay that.
But I was way worse. That's just, I was way worse, you know. And then I went back to get the second mammogram and the ultrasound done. And what the actual results say, so here's the point of this is, there's an area of concern and I'm going to need to be monitored. For the next couple years, they have to look at me every 6 months. One of the reasons they have to do it so often is because it's my first mammogram. They don't have anything to compare it to.
Right. Gotcha.
So they have to look at it, make sure there aren't going to be changes, make sure everything's okay.
Right. Because it could be just a normal, just something that's different.
It might just be, this is how I am. This is how I look. It might be, this is something that's different and it could evolve.
Yeah. And if it changes, then they're going to know.
Right. If it changes, then it's serious, but it's, if it changes, then it's serious, but also it's early.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I got more information after that second appointment, but still not enough information to feel secure. And I was just telling myself, well, I guess we just wait and see. I guess we just wait and see. And that's like a very, it's a very distressing way of viewing it. Like, well, they're just going to keep checking every 6 months to see if I have cancer. I just have to check every 6 months to see if I'm dying. And again, pushing it down. Mm-hmm. I finally talked to my mom about it after that appointment. And again, was a total bitch to her.
And well, you're stressed. I mean,
I think that's the whole point, though, is that like, I felt like I had to keep it inside. I didn't need to share anything because, well, what are they going to do? What am I, you know, what am I going to say? And my mom was trying to give me helpful advice of how to proceed. And I was just like, that's not going to do anything, blah, blah, blah. Like, just, you know, and again, I did apologize to her later. You know, I realized a few hours later, I was like, that was unfair. That's, you were trying to help me. And I'm just, you know, I finally got to talk to my sister this week. She'd been going through a lot of personal issues and we hadn't had a chance to catch up. My sister has had a similar experience and she's 4 years older than me. So this has been going on for 4 years. She had her first mammogram at 40. And she gave me amazing advice, not just because she's been through it, but also because one of her best friends is a radiologist.
Nice.
So she has that in her back pocket where the first time anything weird happened with her, she called her up on the phone and was like, what does this mean? What do I do?
See, that's why you have to have a wide network of friends.
Right. And because a week ago, I did not want to discuss this on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no way. I'm not talking about any of this. And then right before I talked to my sister, I talked to a coworker and she told me I just happened to call her and she was like, I've had such a rough week. I had something weird happen on a mammogram and I had to go get an ultrasound. And
what?
I was like, oh my God, that just happened to me. And she was like, oh, I went Monday for my ultrasound. I was like, me too.
Booby and, twins.
Right. And it was like the first time I just started like sharing all this stuff and she was sharing back. And then that evening I talked to my sister and my sister was just telling me everything she had been through and all the advice she had gotten from her. The woman isn't her doctor. She's just a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she even told me, she said, send me all your reports. I'll have her look at it. She'll reassure you. And my sister was telling me, so it's weird the way that healthcare works because
no shit.
It's either for women, when you turn 40, you go get your physical or your well woman checkup. And it's either your primary care doctor or your OBGYN who refers you to medical imaging to get your first mammogram. Mm-hmm. And when the mammogram shows something different that needs to be followed up on or, you know, looked at further, whatever it is, they send it back to the referring doctor to call you and tell you what's going on. Mm. And an OBGYN isn't necessarily familiar with breast cancer or a right. primary care doctor. And one of the things that it comes up for me is my family history. I'm marked as high risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be, because it's, you know, very serious. Yeah. So I got a phone call from the OBGYN that told me, you know, and again, it's not the doctor themselves. It's a scheduler or an admin person of some kind. And she just said to me over the phone, when you went to the medical imaging center, did they tell you that you'll need to follow up in 6 months? I said, yes, they did tell me that. And she said, okay, good. The doctor reviewed it, the OBGYN, and she says you should also get an MRI. And I hear MRI and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you just had two tests done that should have seen something if it was wrong.
But the main issue is, so this is something, and I'm going to be open with as much of it as I can, because I think if I'm going through it, other people are going through it, I'm done trying to hide it. Like my mm-hmm. coworker had that discussion with me, everything. So at my age and my breast size, and also, so usually, like women who are just in their early 40s, their breasts can still be very dense.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
not
have
mine,
Brett, you, I'm willing to bet you would have dense breast tissue too.
Hmm.
Because my sister does.
Okay.
No. And my sister's, like, this is like my sister's older than, and my sister has smaller breasts than I do, much smaller. But mm-hmm. that's not saying much. But she has normal sized breasts. She's not the tig old bitty show like I got.
She
going
has
on
like
over
cantaloupes
here.
Versus watermelons.
Yeah, yeah. maybe grapefruits. Right. She's 44. She's breastfed two children, and her mammogram still had said you have dense breast tissue. We need to do an ultrasound. So when you have denser breast tissue, it can hide things.
Okay.
So the ultrasound does let you see a more clear picture than the radiation from the mammogram, but the MRI gets the whole picture.
Oh, wow.
So it's just an extra step to make sure. And I'm fine with getting it done. It's going to be expensive because high deductible insurance plans and
yay,
medical imaging is really up there.
Thanks, Obama.
But so that, like, yeah, I wanted to talk about that. That dense breast thing. But so when she said, you know, this woman says to me over the phone, you need an MRI. And I'm like, okay. Okay. And I'm trying not to freak out. And I'm just like, all right, yes. You know, she said, well, we'll put in the referral and the imaging center will call you to schedule that. So it's very weird because you're not getting the full thing from the one
yeah.
person. And I spoke with a radiologist after my last appointment and she did not mention that. And I said that on the phone. I said, the radiologist didn't tell me I needed an MRI. And she said, they usually don't.
Oh, because is it because like they don't have that personal relationship with you? Like
I don't know. I'm not really sure. But, you know, so after the news about the MRI, I talked to that's when I finally talked to my sister. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, I knew my sister had personal stuff going on, but I was like, fuck it. I have to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew a little bit about what was going on, but I, you know, told her more specifically. And she said to me, she was like, listen, this is what I've done. She said, they should refer you to a breast specialist. And it's a doctor that specializes just in breast cancer and other, you know, like abnormalities in the breasts.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, you know, she told me the processes that she's been through. And she said, my sister had to have an MRI done as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you can wait until you see that specialist to see if they'll refer you to, if they think you should get an MRI, then definitely get an MRI.
Okay.
You know, and if they think you need a biopsy, listen to them, get the biopsy.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
You know, those kind of things. And she now, said there
when you say
be,
like specialist, though, like I just hear like dollar signs again, yeah. like high deductible plan, like right. you're going to be paying out of pocket for all this
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. My sister gave me another tip. So not only does my sister have a best friend that's a radiologist, my sister also works for a health insurance company and has for a very long time. And she said, listen, this is what you do. Now, this is also, you have to be able to afford to do this too, because usually, like what happened when I had my second mammogram and ultrasound done, they told me what it was going to cost. And they said, we require half of it up front, and then you can do a payment plan for the rest. And just, it was $475.
Mm-hmm.
So half of that up front. So $220 something. And then a payment plan is going to come out the next 2 months, another $110 Jesus or Christ. Whatever it is. Yeah. So, you know, when I didn't think to question it, I was just like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I can do that. My sister said, when they tell you what it's going to cost, you say, I'll pay it in full right now, but I want a 30% discount.
Wow.
And
baller status.
I've never thought that I could haggle with a doctor's office.
I didn't think so either. Yeah.
Never thought at all. And I knew, like, I knew if you didn't have insurance at all,
yeah,
that they could work with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that if you had insurance, they would ever do that. And she was like, and she like was like very upfront about it. She was like, do not be embarrassed. Do not back down. You be strong. You tell them I will do this. She's like, this is how it's done. She's like, just do it exactly like that. They'll put you on the, they'll probably tell you I need to check with my supervisor and come back and say, yes, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd still have to be able to pay $475 less 30% right then and there.
Right. So yeah, if you have that extra like $100 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or if you, I mean, maybe you have a credit card, you know, you can put it on and then you can pay off that credit card,
right?
You know, and save that money.
Right.
But, and she did also say they might come back and say, we can give you 20% off or 25% mm-hmm. off. She said, but ask for it immediately.
Yeah. And but so, at a certain point, like if they can only take like 20% off and you got to put it on a credit card,
then it might be wiser to do that interest-free payment plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. You do have to be able to pay that right up front. Yeah. But I can't remember if there's anything else. So one more thing about the experience that I wanted to finish sharing. You know, my sister was telling me about getting referred to a breast surgeon or breast specialist. And I'm also worried because my sister lives in Philadelphia. She's got all kinds of resources right there. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. I'm in a small town. I'm not in a big city. I don't have, you know, all kinds of specialists afforded around here.
Yeah. And you might not have as good a healthcare as somebody who works for a healthcare company.
But I mean, the way she complains, though, like it's fun. I feel like she has a very similar plan to what I have, which
really?
Is kind of nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, she's her job is they're in like a she works for the insurance company, but they're like a small portion. I feel like they're kind of outsourced. They're like an outsourced resource because they've been bought and sold to different several different times by different entities. I don't know. It's weird. I won't get into it because I can't explain it. And I wanted to finish this point. She was telling me, you know, to go to this. And she's like, call your OBGYN. Tell them about, you know, tell them exactly what you're, you know, what I've been through with it. You know, with us being sisters, we're going to have similar outcomes mm-hmm. and results. You know, tell them that I've had the, you know, the breast specialist and have been managing it through them rather than the OBGYN, see if there's somebody they can refer you to. So I was all prepared to have to like advocate for myself and try to get answers. And when I got home, I had a letter from the medical imaging center telling me that they have a high risk screening program for people who are like me mm-hmm. and are an elevated risk. And that they have a breast specialist on staff.
Wow.
And they said, you know, call this number. This is the patient coordinator nice. Who will help you along. So I have all of that here.
And it really was, it was really great to have heard from my sister what to expect and then be told from the medical imaging center, here's what it is.
Right.
It's a little frustrating that I didn't get that phone call from the medical imaging center or even get that handed to me that day.
Right. Yeah. I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Monday, when I went for that appointment, they were telling me that. They were telling me, you're high risk. You have to come back every 6 months. Why not hand that letter then? Why not say, you should enroll in this program. Here's the card for the patient coordinator. Yeah. They're going to recommend these next steps for you. Why?
It would have been a really nice peace of mind for you at that point to be like, oh.
Right. Because then they sent the information to the OBGYN. I don't know if they did it that day or if they did it the next day. But it was 4 days before the OBGYN called me and said MRI.
Right.
And that's the only word I heard.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, I got to get something else done.
And then they send the letter by snail mail.
You know? It could have been one of those things that like it was. Did you say it was from the insurance company?
No.
That sent you the letter?
No, oh, it's from the medical imaging.
Oh, okay.
Place where I went, where the, you know, where they didn't give me any information except come back in 6 months. Your doctor will call you.
Well, I was thinking that maybe it was like just one of those things that automatically triggered, like because you hit all these flags, like you got these tests done and this and this and this, and it just automatically sent a letter. Like the people who just work there might not even like fully know about it.
But that's what I don't understand. Because this is
because our healthcare system fucking sucks.
That's my point. Right. Like if it automatically triggers it to send me a letter, why not automatically say, oh, and here you go. We'll just hand it to you before you leave.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because it's just the computer that flags that detects that you need that letter, it's not in their office. And it maybe should be or could be like somebody could be telling them like, oh, if they're getting all this stuff, we might refer you to
also
this.
The radiologist who spoke to me should know that they have that program in their office.
I would think.
But like you said, our healthcare system sucks.
And, you know, I've never been to I guess I technically have been to a radiologist, but whatever. You know, I feel like they're more like technical based type people rather than like the doctor who's like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. They're kind of more just like, I'm working the machine. You know, they're not the person who like, determines whether or not, or maybe I'm thinking
the radiologist is the person who reviews the images that are done on the machine.
See, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
The techs are the people who do the actual testing or do the actual taking of the pictures.
Okay.
And then the radiologist is the person who reviews the images and determines if it's.
I can't wait for Chris to call back and yell at us for being wrong again. Crisado.
Well, I mean, I know that it was a tech that did two different techs that did both of my mammograms. And then at the end of, you know, I guess it was an ultrasound tech. I don't know. She told me her name. She didn't say what her job position was, but another tech that did the ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And then, the radiologist walked in at the end and she said, I'm Dr. So-and-so, the radiologist.
Okay.
Which is how I knew.
I have no concept of like who does what. I don't know shit about fuck. What was I going to say? Oh, so I mentioned that we were going to be talking about this to our friend Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And she recommended that. I don't know if this is what you got, but she said she gets the 3D mammogram and apparently it's less painful. She's like, you know, I know that my tits are not the same as yours or hers. So, you know, she said, but whatever. She said it was apparently like less painful and better image.
I don't know. All my paperwork said it was a 3D mammogram both times. I don't know if it was or not, but it hurt like fuck. So I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from getting a mammogram.
I mean, you talked me out of it.
Sorry. But if you're swearing that your titties are floppy, you'll be fine.
I mean, I could tie this bitch in a knot right now.
And every
woman I've talked to that's had a mammogram, they all said, oh, it doesn't, it never hurt me that much. So I don't know.
Good for you, Brenda.
Great. Great. But we, like, I mean, and women say the dumbest things, like, oh, mine are smaller than yours, it doesn't hurt so much. Oh, mine are saggy, it doesn't hurt that much. Yeah.
Pain is my fetish. It didn't bother me.
I won't go into it because it's going to take me into a dark place, because I have not only issues with the pain, but also issues with the body image issues that I have.
Honestly, getting that is the thing that I am terrified about the most. Just the, yeah.
Well, you need to do it. Stop putting it off.
I know. I've got to get an appointment with my OBGYN like within the next month, and good. She's going to yell at me for not going, and I'm going to be like, good. Yes, I am a fucking coward. But I feel like I need for them to just make the appointment for me and make me go, because giving me a piece of paper and saying, like, just make an appointment. That's why I keep putting it off, because then it's another thing that I have to, like, I have to find the courage
just
to do
that. Just
call
them when you leave the office.
That's what I should do.
They hand you a piece of paper. You put the number in your cell phone. Once you're in the parking lot, you hit.
Well, last time I went, it was in the middle of a fucking pandemic, and I really, really wasn't.
Oh, yeah. No, you have every reason for not going last year. Nobody's faulting you for that. You have every reason for not going last year, but now you can do it.
Right.
You
when
can make it happen.
When they gave me the first one, I almost did that. Like, I almost just, like, went out to my car and just called and made the appointment, like, right away. And for, actually, no, I almost went over there because it was right next to the hospital.
Oh.
I almost just went right over there and said, hey, can I do this right now?
Yeah.
And then I can't remember why I didn't. Like, it was something really stupid. Actually, I know what it is. I'll tell you off the air. But
I was going to say, was it because you were wearing deodorant?
No, I never wear deodorant. Because I'm trying to avoid breast cancer by not wearing deodorant. That's what I read on the internet. And because I like to stink. Yes. But anyway, so, like, I think, yeah, sometimes I just need to trick myself into doing things. Like, I need to not think about that, oh, I need to do this. Like, the other day, I realized I still hadn't done my taxes. The deadline had been pushed out to May 17th, and I looked at the calendar, and I was like, oh, it's, like, May 6th or whatever the fuck it was. And I was like, I should just do that. I should just do it. And I was like, I'll do it this weekend. No, you know what? I'm going to do it right now. And I, like, part of my brain started trying to trick me out of it. And I was like, nope, you're just going to do it right the fuck now.
Wow.
Right the fuck now. And I just sat down and did it.
Great job.
I had to pay like $300,
oh,
which
damn.
I was worried that it could have been more.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so point being, I tricked myself into doing it. And like, and if I can get past that part of me that tries to, like, chicken out of just doing the fucking thing, I just have to, like, kick that bitch in the face and be like, mm-hmm. Pussy, you fucking do the goddamn thing that you need to do right now. I bully myself into being an adult.
That's awesome.
Man, I don't know if we have anything else to talk about now. Jesus.
I know. We got to end on a happier note, though. Than
I know.
Go get your boobies squeezed. But really, do it. And don't be afraid to talk to people about it.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask you this. When you said earlier that, like, you were so stressed about it and everything and, like, keeping it down, but then you talked to your coworker, did it, like, immediately make you feel better about the whole
yes.
situation, just being able to talk to somebody?
Yes.
So I think that's a lesson we could all
yeah.
learn from. Just it, fucking
you
talk
know,
to people.
Just immediately hearing another woman say, I went through this and it was really stressful.
Yeah.
You know.
Just being able to, like, associate with somebody else mm-hmm. who's going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that's kind of, like, what this show really is, like, you know what? You're not the only one who's thinking this shit or
yeah,
going through this shit.
Sometimes you see a goat and you think it's a baby cow and then you feel stupid afterward. You know? And
I've
then
never
you see
done
a donkey that. And you think it's a baby horse and you feel even stupider.
You say, stay out of my swamp.
But it was much worse because with the baby goats, well, they weren't babies. They were full-size goats. The donkey thing was much worse because I needed Matt to say, that's a donkey.
And you're like, ah, I totally meant to. Yeah, I knew that.
And I was like,
oh, God bless.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to spend the afternoon looking at pictures of baby goats. I think we could all study some farm animals, you know? I don't know where I'm going with that, but I just want to look at pictures of baby goats.
I think
they're
it'll
adorable.
Make us all happy.
Yes. Yes. We should find pictures of baby goats to put as our featured picture for this episode.
I think so. I was thinking that already.
See?
Or baby calves running.
Well, I have to pee.
Oh, well, then we better stop.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Yourself.
I may be doing it right now.
Oh, wait, isn't May Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
I don't know. I think it's October. I thought
oh,
it was
you're
October.
Right. It's totally October.
Look, every month should be Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
We should have waited for October for this episode.
No. This is important. It's important.
October will be the month that I get my 6-month follow-up.
There you go.
So
it all works
out. I'll
tell
you guys about it. I'll let you know what's happening.
Yeah. Great. All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to watch the video of us doing the show, go to patreon.com/mouthybroadcast. You can find us and subscribe for $5 a month. You get some video. Or $3.50, something like that. I don't know. It's cheap. We're Mouthy Broadcast. We're on mouthybroadcast.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, @ Mouthy Broadcast. And you can call us 757-541-CUNT. See you next Tuesday, motherfuckers.
What a load off my chest.
God damn it.